Welcome to the Sports Girly Podcast, your home for snackable sports for the girlies that kind of care.
Good afternoon, sports girlies. Welcome back. So, like I said, this episode we are going to get into women's sports. It is International Women's Month, so it only seems fitting that. So, just to catch you up on what I've been up to since we last got together. So Friday went to my first spring training game of the season. It's so nice that like it's more popular and like there's so many more people that come into town for it. But the unfortunate thing is then tickets are more expensive and your options are limited. But we had a great time. My husband and I, my mother-in-law was still in town, so she stayed at home with the baby. So we went to the Giants Oakland A's stadium, and I just have to say, like, I've only been to two stadiums now here in Arizona as far as spring training goes, and the food was superior to the Scottsdale Stadium, and I had my wedding reception there, not with any of the vendors that would be there during the spring training, but you get what I'm saying. Like, Oakland, they really showed out, like, Corn Dog Station, a coffee bar, Chick-fil-A was there. They had a Top Chef food truck, pizza, your normal food that you would get, bratwurst, like a kid's like play area. All these things I'm listing we don't have at the Scottsdale Stadium. So if you're listening, it would be nice to add a few of these cool touches. One thing they do have that like makes me laugh is at the Scottsdale Stadium, they have the like the noodles. If you ever go to like sporting events and stuff, there's always like this noodle thing there, and it's just, it seems very fitting for San Francisco. And I mean, you have to have diversity, obviously. All right, so I did that, and then weekend was pretty, you know, pretty meh. We didn't really do a whole lot of, you know, anything. My little one is teething, so that's really occupying my time, and watching some March Madness, because that's going on. We are currently in the Sweet 16, so by the time this episode comes out, men will be starting their Sweet 16 tournament games, as well as the women, and I've kind of been touching on it on my stories a little bit here and there, and it is Upset City now. Definitely in the men's this year, and it's always nice to see when that happens. And then in the women's, there were a few upsets last night, which were, you know, does not happen very often. Women do tend to be like, there's money that goes into certain programs, and some schools really benefit from their women's program more than others, which is a great segue into our segment this week. So we're going to talk about women's sports, and truth be told, like, my, like, understanding of women's sports is not vast. I don't know a lot about women's sports. It's not in front of me all the time, which is what we're going to get into. All right, so I think it's super cool to see someone that's like me playing at a high level, whether that be basketball or soccer. Like I've mentioned before, like, I think that college women's softball is super cool, too. And I can respect the work that it takes to become an athlete, as well as also relating to them as a female and everything that comes along with that. So when it comes to women's sports, I don't know a ton. I watch women's gymnastics when it's on, women's basketball here and there. I watch women's club rugby because my husband's involved in the sport. But that's really the extent of my personal knowledge. However, we're here to educate ourselves on sports, and as a woman reporting on sports, I'm so lucky that I've built this platform that I can use it to educate the both of us. And so what we're going to do is talk about some of the hurdles that women athletes go through, and really what are the obstacles that are stopping women's sports professionally being, you know, as big as men's sports are today. So the biggest thing that you'll hear a lot about is everyone talking about, like, equality in pay when it comes to, well, across the board, whether that be in a corporate environment or even, you know, in sports. But we're talking about sports here, and women across the board are paid less in any professional sport. Tennis is the lowest gender gap in sports, but men are still making about 35% more than women are. So if you think about it, Serena Williams is making less money than Roger Federer is. And he is retired as well as Serena is retired. But he's walked away, aside from brand deals and endorsements, he will make more money than her just from the sport of tennis. So if you think about it that way, that's pretty wild. Now, we're going to get into this a little bit more in detail, but there are also instances where women are fighting for their rights in sports. So right now, Canada was like in a lockout and like refusing to play, and or not refusing to play, but they would wear, they were covering up their jerseys, which obviously had sponsors and things like that on there, and in protest of their current pay situation. Now, women's U.S. soccer is interesting in that it has more fans, more views, more ticket sales. They bring in more revenue than men's U.S. soccer does domestically, but they still make less money, which is, that's insane. Like, if you're making more money, then you should get paid more. And that brings me to our best, you know, case study example for this episode is going to be the WNBA and the NBA, because it's the easiest way to compare apples to apples. I don't know a lot about soccer, but also soccer is not as strong of a sport here domestically as it is like across the pond. And over there, not only are you paying, you know, or here too, but not only are you playing for your country, you're playing for your club. You can play for several different clubs. So it really gets way more complicated over there than I have, you know, care to understand at the minute. So women's WNBA and the NBA are our best case scenario, like example, to really understand and kind of like wrap our minds around really the where those inequalities lie. So men's professional sports across the board, like football, basketball, you name it, every year they're going to base their salary caps on the previous year's revenue. So right about now, like free agency is going on in the NFL and they're, you know, looking at draft picks and stuff, all of that. And now they're probably getting told, like, we don't have the exact number yet, but we do know that your salary cap's probably looking to be about this, or like we're going to increase it by, you know, 1.2%, whatever it may be. Think about like in your corporate worlds where like you have your year end earnings, you get your bonuses, you know, like February, March timeframe, because it takes like a month or two really for those big corporations to kind of close out their year. The NFL is a corporation just like anything else. And so they go through the same sort of structure and like flow of business as well. Now, in the case of the NBA, a portion of their salary goes to support the WNBA, whether that be towards salaries, like games, like just the running of the business. So the WNBA does not share their financials publicly, so we can really only take our best guess. But public information is that the WNBA is getting, like, they have contracts with like networks, so like ESPN and CBS, and they're getting about $12 million for that. And that's through 2025. Then you have the league makes about $60 million. Their operating costs are about $70 million. And the average NBA player makes about $75,000 a year. And all this information I got from a Go Banking Rates site that did a breakdown of financial inequality in sports, which is actually pretty interesting. But I digress. So you're telling me that a professional athlete is making under six figures, which is pretty crazy in the grand scheme of things. Now, there are some positives to women and finances in sports, and that is from the NIL, which is how the college players are getting paid. So women in college basketball, for instance, you're seeing a huge benefit from women in sports in college making money because, okay, gymnastics, for instance, you're in college playing gymnastics. Where are you going after that? You could become a like a professional cheerleader, you know, for the Dallas Cowboys or something, or go back and teach cheer, maybe go on to another like college program that will like let you do like a fifth year, whatever. There's a few opportunities out there, but not a lot. I would bank on you making way more money in college sporting like Nike gear and, you know, selling supplements on through your Instagram and things like that as a college student than you are actually coaching gymnastics or owning a gym, whatever it may be. And same goes with women's basketball. So women's college basketball, those teams are like getting chartered flights. They're, you know, all they're being treated better as women athletes than WNBA players are. So the WNBA, all the teams, like, it has to be like a even playing field. So if you own like the Phoenix Mercury, you have to spend the same amount of money as like the Las Vegas Aces, which are both WNBA teams. So that being said, like there are teams that out there that the league as a whole is in the red. So that trickles down in each of these teams. You can't be shelling out money to charter flights. So all the WNBA players, they fly commercial. When I found that out, I was like, it didn't even like dawn on me that that would be a possibility. Just like, well, they're like professional athletes. Like that doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, like, cause even in college, like they're, you know, in softball, baseball, basketball, they're all like chartered flights, like paid for by boosters and things like that. And the other thing in college is if you spend a certain amount of money on one sport, you have to spend that into other sports as well. So, you know, you'll end up having like a school that has like more women's teams because like their football team may be great. Like I'm not, that's kind of like the gist of it. I'm sure there's a better like explanation than that. So bottom line, the WNBA just like needs more money. Women's sports like needs more money. But how do you get more money? Well, you need more fans. Well, how do you get more fans? Like you need more people interested. But like if you're not seeing it in front of you, kind of like I said in the beginning, how are you going to be a fan if you don't ever watch the WNBA? Or like how are you ever going to see, you know, these women soccer players like winning gold medals and championships and things like that, if they're not in front of us and they're not broadcasted on TV? Well, people will watch a quality product. People will watch something that's exciting. And like I said, we're kind of spending more time referring to basketball because it's a lot easier to compare like apples to apples, like men and women's. So for me, a tangible fix would be you need more coaches or you need better coaching. Let's just face the facts. Men are stronger and larger human beings than we tend to be. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, we are made that way for a reason. And are there some outliers out there as far as women athletes are concerned? Absolutely. Same in just, like, your everyday, like, run-of-the-mill human. So if in the WNBA you only have one or two six-foot-tall or taller players, but in the NBA, every single one of them is over 6 feet, you know, some of them almost 8 feet tall, then the game's more exciting. Like, you're going to get more, you know, dunks, you're going to get more three-point shots. So in women's, we need to focus more on our skills and our ability to strategize. We don't have size to our advantage. And how can you do that? Well, you need coaches that can teach that and can coach that to you and make the game more interesting with the skills that you have in front of you. Another thing is in the WNBA, I'm going to give you a few of the top players, the top names out there. So you have Sabrina Ionescu. Like I mentioned before, she was mentored by Kobe Bryant, and she also mentored his daughter Gigi. She's 5'11". Then you have Diana Taurasi. She is 6 foot tall, and she's like the Kobe Bryant of the WNBA, who also plays with Brittany Griner, who got in all that legal trouble with Russia for like her vape pens. She's the outlier and is 6'9". Then you have Candace Parker. She plays for the Las Vegas Aces. She's 6'4", but you also see her on TNT with like Shaq and all them.
Other than Phoenix, each one of these people play on a separate team. So if you only have one star player that's over 6 feet or just about 6 feet that can, you know, make all these three-pointers, a couple of them can dunk. I think Brittany Griner can, maybe Candace can. But you need a faster-paced game, and so you need more opportunities for people like me. Like, I'm 5'7". I athletically could be good at basketball. It's not my thing, but I'm just not an organized sports girly as far as, like, my personal, you know, athletic abilities. But if you really, like, if I put my mind to it, I would be a great basketball player. I am 5'7". I have lakes for days. Like, I would be so good at basketball, but it just, like, wasn't part of my journey. But if I were to play basketball, I would need the basket to be lower. And this is a hot take. People don't like to mention that women should lower the basket and then, you know, more girls could dunk and, you know, you might get more three-pointers, like, what have you. Because they hate that example because it's showing that, like, we're lesser than or something. But they use a smaller ball. So riddle me that. What's the difference? But my point is, so, like, these stars need, like, support. They need people, like, more everyday girls like me that can support those players like Sabrina or, like, Brittany Griner. And that will make it more interesting. You bring out more opportunities for, like, women to be good at the sport. And, like, you know, have more records and things like that. Like, don't compare the women to the men. Like, we are not the same. It's like in boxing, you have your lightweights, you have your middleweights, you have your heavyweights, your, like, feather, whatever they're called. Like, they're all different weight classes, and you don't compare them and their stats because they're not comparable. Same with women and men. They shouldn't be comparable, like, you know. So, like I said, coaching is a big, and what to me just feels like a tangible opportunity as far as women's basketball goes. But all of this comes back to money. And here's a good example. So Steve Nash, he played several years ago. He is a shorter guy, but like on the court, he looks like a shorter guy, but he's like over 6 feet, but you wouldn't guess that because he's surrounded by these like 7 foot tall players. Well, he played for the Suns for a long period of time. He played for Dallas when I lived, he played for the Mavs when I lived in Dallas, and he played for the Lakers for a short minute. But last season, he was the coach of the Brooklyn Nets. He currently doesn't have a job. The Nets felt like he was the issue when now they don't have Kevin Durant. They don't have Kyrie Irving. They have this, like, Ben Simmons guy that doesn't ever play. I don't even know if he's still on the team or anything anymore. But it really wasn't Steve Nash's problem. He is a very good coach. He would be a great women's basketball coach, but he's not going to do it out of the goodness of his own heart. He wants to get paid. He wants to show me the money. Show me the money, you know? So in order to do that, the WNBA needs more money. So like I said, if it's a quality product, people will watch it. And networks are not dumb. Like, they're going to put money where people want to see things. They're going to put things on TV that people want to see. So we need to give more exposure to women's sports. And that's happening. Like, people are looking for more live TV. And a great, easy way to get that is live TV that already exists. So sports is a great opportunity. Women's sports is a great opportunity. But right now you have things like slap fighting and cornhole on TV all the time because that's what people want to see. So if you're upset that there's not women's sports on TV, be upset that people are interested in watching people slapping each other and throwing beanbags into a wooden hole, that's more entertaining than watching women's basketball or watching women's flag football or gymnastics or volleyball. Like, there's so many options for women's sports out there for your viewing pleasure. We just aren't watching them.
And I'm guilty of it too. Like, I want to sit back and watch My Housewives. I want to catch up on all this Vanderpump drama and the Tom Scandoval of it all. I only have so much free time. And so that's kind of where I think that some of the issue lies is, like, we as women, like, we do so much. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a podcaster, like, starting a small business. I wear many hats and, you know, I only have so much free time to myself. And there are times when I would much rather watch something that requires very little, like, brain power, like Bravo. And then there's times where I want to watch something more exciting, like sports. And right now, men's sports just happen to be more exciting for me. Now, if we're going to be upset that women's sports aren't on, then we have to do our part and we have to support the women around us and support women out there altogether. There's plenty of outlets out there already focusing on women's sports. For instance, JustWomensSports.com is just that. So you go to that website, you're going to get all the information you need to know about college, the WNBA, women's tennis, any top headlines when it comes to women's sports. They also have a podcast by a female soccer player called Snacks. And then you have The Gist, which is a podcast, a newsletter. They're like a full-blown, like, Instagram, several Instagram accounts that cover all sports. But their focus really is on women's sports. Now, where I differ is I care about men's sports and I care about the top headlines when it comes to sports and how pop culture takes a part in that. But my job is also to educate you and myself on sports as a whole and keep it light and fun and also entertaining. But like I said, we're bringing the tea to sports as well. But if we're going to talk the talk, then we have to walk the walk. So like I said, we need to support our girlies. We need to buy the tickets. We need to follow the players on Instagram. We need to, you know, buy the shoes that they're supporting and designing and support your girlies, you know? So we're really only scratching the surface as far as women's sports goes. I can hear my little guy crying. So time to put on one of my other mini hats and take care of him. But I really enjoyed getting into this with you guys. I learned a lot before getting ready for the episode, and I'll continue to learn more and do my part as far as supporting women's sports goes. And with that, I leave you, and we will get back on regular scheduled top sports news next week. And like always, thanks for following along. Thanks for listening. You can find me on Instagram at SportsGirlyPodcast, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Bye.